Sunday morning, all of a sudden, a phone rang and told that your son met with a severe accident. Then all of a sudden the situation changed in the family and in the church. And within 30 minutes again another phone came saying that he is dead and gone. So it's all of a sudden. He is around 23 years old and just is getting his Bible theological training, and one year more we have to wait for his training to finish, and he was ready to come to the ministry. So after we lost our son, me and my wife, especially my younger son Joshua, as we have been praying, were in a great depression and just heartbroken, especially me, because from the childhood, I was the mother, I was the father to my son, especially whom I lost. So it was a great heartbreaking situation in my lifetime. As I was just broken in my heart and just laying down on my bed, a small still voice whispering in my heart, and I strongly believe that it is from the Lord, saying that, "Do you love your son or do you love me?" That's the voice speaking to me. Do you love your son or do you love me? And all of a sudden, a reaction came within my heart. Literally, I knelt down on my bed and said, "Lord, I love you more than I love my son. That was the answer came, just even without my knowledge also, I think. And from that moment onwards, God is strengthening me, and God has really relieved me from that situation. And many emails I received from America and from the friends like you, and calls from Pastor Jean and Nancy and Pastor Kenbuck and Roger Thiele and all the pastors within my land, within my country. A cloud, a multitude who really surrounded us to encourage us, to uplift us from that situation. So we are really, very soon we came out of that situation and stood in the ministry back again. And once again I would like to thank God and thank you for all your prayers. What I'm trying to say, all your prayers are making change back at home. Therefore, we are here out of that situation, and really we are enjoying all the hostage that you are giving us and all the love that you are sharing. And I would ask you to continue for the ministry. And we are no more worried, because we know that our son is in the hands of the Lord, and one day we are going to see him and meet him. Therefore, he is in the safe hands than being in my hand. That's what I believe. Therefore, we want to just continue as usual, and we feel that God is taking us to the next level of the ministry from now onwards, and we do not know what is going to come and what kind of ministry we are going to have, but we strongly believe that God is going to take us, and God is going to use us in the different way to glorify His name within our land. Therefore, just with folded hands, I would like to thank you all. This is the way of Indian way to thank you all for all your cooperation in this situation. And maybe Arna can come and stand here for a while so that everybody can see us together. Huh? This is my wife, Arna. Maybe tomorrow I think she is going to sing the song. Tomorrow she can sing the song for you. She is a good singer. She is a good cook. Upon that, she is a doctor. She is a medical doctor to help many people in our country, in our ministry there. Once I was invited to preach in one of the wedding ceremonies in India. I was the main speaker in that wedding ceremony. Before me, there were other two speakers, and I prepared a message on my mind and written in my paper and gone to speak in the wedding ceremony. Before I spoke, other two speakers are supposed to speak. And one speaker spoke and stood up and speaking for more than 30 minutes. And he spoke all the things that I have written in my paper. And it was a trouble on my mind. Sitting on the platform in the front row like this, I was thinking and thinking again, made some other ceremony. And the other speaker came and grabbed all my thoughts again. And that's what Jean is doing since morning. I was thinking to speak about the Moses from Exodus 33rd chapter. He was quoting and clearly speaking. Then I came to Ephesians 3rd chapter. He was quoting the same thing. But it was good to hear. Always it is, we are so happy to hear Pastor Jean. And I count myself, I'm not at all worthy to speak when he sits in the congregation. And I hope, do you understand my language especially? Because I come from India. Just as you have picked up a theme for this conference, the fullness of God, I do not know if I can stick up to that conference, that the theme of this conference or speak something else. But what God has laid upon my heart, I want to read a verse from the Bible, from the same Colossians 1st chapter, the last two verses. The letter of Paul to Colossians 1st chapter, last two verses, 28 and 29. Read this way. We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete or full in Christ. 29th verse. For this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. That's the New American Standard Bible version I read from. Would you like to hear? I want to read from my Telugu Bible. I know if you don't understand, but at least you can hear how they sound like. From Colossians 1st chapter 28-29, Colossians Rasin Patrika, Vagutava Dhyayamu, 28-29 Vachana, Prati Manushuni, Kristu Nandu, Sampurnunuga Chesi, Ayana Eduta Nilavabettavalanani, Samasta Vidhamulaina Jnanamuto, Memu Prati Manushuniki, Buddhi Cheppuchu, Prati Manushuniki, Bodhinchuchu, ఆయనను ప్రకటించుచున్నాము. అందు నిమిత్తము నాలో బలముగా కార్యసిద్ధి కలుగుచి ఆయన క్రియాశక్తిని బట్టి నేను పోరాడుచు ప్రయాసపడుచున్నాను. ద డిజైర్ ఆఫ్ పాల్, సెయింట్ పాల్ ఇన్ రైటింగ్ దిస్ లెటర్, లెటర్ టు కొలొసియన్స్ అండ్ లెటర్ టు ఎఫిషియన్స్, యాజ్ వీ హావ్ బీన్ హియరింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ లాస్ట్ నైట్ ఫ్రమ్ డానియల్ అండ్ పాస్టర్ జీన్ and Philippians, all these letters were written from jail, prison. That's why we call them prison epistles. In fact, Paul was in the prison, but that was the difficult time for the Paul to be in such situation. But that was the time when God really revealed the wonderful things which church should know in the years to come. As we understand, sometimes I used to teach on the book of Ephesians, the letter to Philippians. The theme of the Philippians is the joy, rejoice in the Lord. Again and again he says the same word, rejoice. In every chapter he says almost. But he was chained in the prison. His situation was not good at all. He is not free like we are, and he is not enjoying anything outside as we are enjoying outside. He was confined to a room or a cabin. I do not know what was the situation in those days. He was not free like we are moving in the society with the family, wife, children and relatives, friends, foes, everybody. But in spite of being in the prison, the Spirit of God filled his heart with a great joy for the ministry, for the cause of the ministry, for the cause of the evangelism, to see the churches, to encourage the churches. And from out of his joy that God has planted in his heart, he was writing to the Philippians saying that you rejoice in the Lord. And again I say, you rejoice. And when I see in this context, Colossians and the Ephesians, the Philippians, other epistles that were written from the prison, if you think of the epistle to Ephesians, it's a wonderful epistle given to the church. It was like a diamond pearl to the church in concerning the standards of the church, characters of the church, doctrines of the church were very much clearly laid in these epistles when God used this man of God, Paul, when he was in the prison. Therefore, this letter to Ephesians and the Colossians, he was touching the core of the Christianity, I should say. Though he was writing from the prison, the Spirit of God was powerfully using this man of God from that situation to encourage the people like us. Many times we think when we get little trouble, our minds distract, our hearts disgrace, we go away from the way of the Lord, and we do abuse the Lord in many ways, may not be with the words, with the thoughts and with the feelings that we have. We believe that we are abusing the God, and we reject the faith in many ways. But when we see Paul being sitting in the prison and being chained together, and he knows that death is in front of him, still the power of God is working within him to lay the strong and very strong foundation for the church. Even till today, the church is not able to understand what he wrote from those prison bars, behind the prison bars. Therefore, I would like to encourage when we read epistles like Philippians and Colossians and the other epistles, Ephesians, prison epistles, we need to understand from which situation he was sitting in, how God used this man of God to encourage the church to come, to uplift the believers who are living in the church. That will be really a great encouragement. So once I went to speak in a convention, I think my wife was there. We both went. That was the 3 days convention. It is a Bible teaching sessions during the day, and during the evening, it was the gospel meeting. Everything was arranged. All the lights were put up. Stage platform was made. And the people were coming to hear the gospel. All of a sudden, big rain came. Huge rain came. And it washed away all the platform and the rain and all the lighting system, PA system, everything. We cannot have the meeting. All the church was disappointed. Pastor was disappointed. And everybody was scattered here and there. We do not know where to hide. That was an open-air meeting, in fact. Then I called the local organizer, who is our friend, Naxal Joshua and Navamani. You know them. You dedicated their church. That was the church. And I called the people not to go away anywhere, but let us sit in the church rather than sitting on the street in the open air for the gospel meeting. We can have the church meeting inside and let us teach the word of God than preaching the gospel on the streets. So all the church came together just to sit this size of church that was. And we sat inside the church. And I prepared a gospel meeting to speak that night with them. And all of a sudden the situation was changed. And I had to speak something to the believers now in the church who are really disgraced and distracted because of this, all the confusion that was made that evening. The Spirit of God gave me a good verse, Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord, and again I say, rejoice. That was the message I was led to speak to those people that night. Out of the horrible situation that night, I tell you, God was speaking with them very clearly, very specifically to each and every believer, even to the pastor who was organizing and who was very much distracted and disappointed because of all this situation. Because they spent thousands of rupees on arranging these gospel meetings and all. In spite of all of that, that night was the blessed night for the church. Out of the 3 days meeting, that was the best meeting I could say. God very specifically spoke and encouraged each and every believer in that congregation that evening. Therefore, what I am trying to say, Though our situation may distract us, but the Spirit of God uses us, enfills us, and reveals the things that we should stand upon boldly to overcome all the situations. That was the situation Paul was writing all these prison epistles. If we go to the Colossians 1st chapter, verses 28 and 29, just I came across few things to share in this conjunction. In the 28th verse he says, "We proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, so that we may present every man complete," means full, "in Christ Jesus." The desire of Paul was to present every believer of all the churches that he has planted so far complete and full, fully matured in Christ Jesus. That was the desire of the Paul. Just not to preach the gospel and leave them alone. That's why God inspired Paul. He went on the three missionary journeys and planted the churches, as we know. When he came back to the home church, the Spirit of God inspired him, go again and visit the churches. Go again, encourage the believers. And when the situation did not allow him to go there, God asked him to write letters to settle the confusions, to settle the matters that are present in those churches. Therefore, it is not simply just bring the soul into the salvation and leave them, but he has a great desire to bring every believer into maturity and present every believer as a matured person in Christ Jesus, as a complete man. That's what the desire of the Paul, as we see in these verses. In these verses, I see to present every believer as a matured Christian or full Christian, complete Christian, in the day of the Lord. I saw three things. These three things, he says, first thing he says, we proclaim him. That's the first thing that I recognize when we read these verses. We proclaim him. Proclamation. That's what we are doing as we live in the country like India. It is all saturated with the people, Hindus. 80% of the people are living in India are just Hindus and the idol worshippers, among whom we are living as Christians for a handful of people, just 3-4% of Christianity living in India. Among this 80% of the Hindus and around 12-14% of the Muslims, we are the 3-4% of the Christians. What we are doing, as Paul has done in his ministry, to bring every man into the fullness of God, we are proclaiming him. We are presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ as far as we can reach. Though I live in a big city, very huge city, I live in city called Hyderabad and Secunderabad. It's a twin cities where nearly 8 million people are living together in one city. Very big population I live among. Very huge city where I live. But our goal and our vision is to reach the people who are living in the countryside, in the rural villages, undeveloped, unreached places. All these years, it is my 27th year in the ministry in the Hyderabad. All these years we have been proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior to the people who do not know anything about Jesus Christ. Because they were presented wrongly sometimes, Jesus Christ is a Western God, it is a British religion. Many false views those people have, but now with the love of God, we were compelled to go into those villages to present Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the only one God who can forgive our sins, who can bring us into the real salvation. This is what we are doing. The first thing, we are proclaiming the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ in each and every village. In this process, as we are going from village to village, God is opening the doors, God is opening the hearts of the people to establish few churches. satellite churches in the villages where we are having the ministry now. When we go into the villages for the first time, there will be no single Christian at all. No single Christian family at all. But when we go, we may face the rejection. They may despise us. They don't want to come and sit with us to listen what we are trying to tell them. But as we persist to go and go again and again, conduct gospel meetings and proclaim the gospel of good news of Jesus Christ, God opens, as he opened the heart of the lady at Philippi, God opens one or two hearts to accept us and receive us into their homes. That we take as a base to start the ministry with one person or two person. We go into the villages and start a small assembly in their home. And as God opens the hearts of the people in that villages, now, after working these many years, we can see at least 60 people, 70 people coming together like the churches like this and worshipping the Lord in spirit and in truth. When we see such kind of churches, our heart really rejoices again and again what God has done all this year, in the course of these years, because when we enter into those villages for the first time, not even single Christian we can find, but now, like Lingampally, like Ganapur, like Jaligama, like Gajwel, when we go there, not even a single Christian we can find. But God led us into those villages to preach, to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what we have been doing all these years. Still, we have a passion. Still, we have a desire to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, to take into the people. For that, we are doing whatever we can from our side. And I would like to thank you once again for all our prayers and for all the financial support that you have been sending to construct the church, to help the pastors. Pastors are needy in the countryside, like they don't have the bicycles, they don't have the motorcycles to reach the other villages. They don't have the necessary things in their family to meet their needs of their wives or the children, whatever they need in the ministry. But in all these things, through Pastor Gene Cunningham and Pastor Kenbeck in USA, you have been sending the funds all these years. I know that, and I thank you very much. But I want to assure you, each and every penny, each and every dollar which you have been sending through these friends, just we are putting in the ministry to get the harvest into the kingdom of God, to lead the souls into the salvation of God. That's what we have been doing all these years. We are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in the world which is simply not known. Just believe me, there are people still in India, within my state, who do not know who is Jesus. Whether it is a God, whether it is the name of a town, whether it is the name of an animal or a man, they do not know. If I go to a tribal people, who is Jesus? They do not know. But praise, thank and praise God, as we persistently, constantly working in some of those villages, those tribal people who living among the jungles, the people who are living in the hills and the valleys, they just live on the vegetation in the forests. They don't come to the cities. They don't know any kind of civilization. Their dresses are different. They live like jungle people. Once I have taken Amri and Nancy, you came to a village called Gundala. And we put up a church there. All the people live in that village are just tribal people. They wear the beads all around their neck. They have the bull's horses on their heads. They have the tattoos all over their bodies. They look differently. They speak different language. But as we send the missionaries, as we send the evangelists, as we go and proclaim the gospel, God is opening their hearts, and they came to the Lord and saving power of Jesus Christ. They accepted the Lord in that village called Gundala. It was a tribal area. The just wild people living there. But I tell you, more than 600 people gather every Sunday in that church. All are tribals. They do not speak my language very clearly. They have their own tribal language. But we have a good pastor who is working among them from their own tribe. So, people do not know Jesus Christ, but God is opening the new doors as we persist to go on proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what we wanted to see, people coming to the Lord to receive the gospel. Nowadays a little system has come, what we call cell phone. How many of you have cell phones? Everybody. But let me tell you, in India, everybody has 3 cell phones. You got only 1 cell phone, maybe. Cell phone has saturated the whole world. Every country, even countries like India, even if they don't have good shirt to wear, they will go and buy the cell phone. If they don't have sandals on their foot, they will go and buy the cell phone first. Cell phone is known within a short time throughout the world. But I am sad to say, Jesus Christ is not known in many tribal villages, in many counties, in many areas. Very recently, cell phone has been introduced to the world, and which has gone into the every hand of the people in the world, but not Jesus Christ. Since 2000 years, the name of Jesus Christ, salvation, is being preached in the world. And the India got the good news in the first century itself through Thomas and the Bartholomew and the other disciples came to India. They constructed big buildings and the churches, palaces. Still they are standing in India still as a mementos. But the sad part of that is still there are many multitudes of people who doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is my humble prayer. Please continue to pray as we are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, good news of Jesus Christ in the villages, in the towns, and in the many areas. Just we are committed to take the gospel of Jesus Christ in which is where it is not reached. That's one step that Paul was speaking in the Colossians 1st chapter 28. We proclaim him, proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Next thing he is telling, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. Admonishing every man and teaching every man. That's what he uses the words. In another translation, I do not know what translation you are using, warning every man. Does it say it? Warning every man. Admonishing, warning every man. And teaching. I am not good at teaching. I am a very poor teacher. That's why I hang upon my best friend God gave me, Pastor Jean and Nancy. And I tell you, very frankly, he left me for years together. For few years, I think, he left me totally. He hooked up me with Ken Buck, and he left me. But I never left him. For one reason, for the warning from the word of God, for the good sound teaching from the word of God to our people who got saved. We are preaching the gospel. We are proclaiming the goodness of Jesus Christ. What we are desiring from you, from the teachers like Pastor Jean and other teachers, come and help in building the church with a sound doctrine and good warnings from the word of God. That's what we have been doing all these years with the basic training Bible ministries. We invite the pastors and we are conducting the seminars. We are conducting the conferences like this for 4 days and 5 days. We bring all the pastors sometimes, 400 pastors, 500 pastors come together. And pastor initially, we have addressed many pastors like that. And we are trying to put a sound doctrine, admonition, and build them up on a good ground so that we may present them perfect in the presence of the Lord. That's what we have been doing. In that form came out the Grace Bible College, where we take the students and give the sound doctrine. There are pastors. Since 2-3 years we have been doing this. As I travel in the villages, we see the many pastors. They have churches. They have congregation like 100 people, 200 people, 60, 70 people. But sad to know that this pastor never gone through any kind of training. He doesn't know any basics of the word of God. But still, he has 200 people sitting in front of him every Sunday. I find very hard to teach my church, though I can read English, I can read the commentaries, and I can read the dictionaries in English and Telugu. These people cannot read. They don't have any commentaries. They don't have any dictionaries to grasp anything from the other saints. But still 200 people sitting in front of them to hear the word of God. These pastors have nothing to tell them. Just they babble something, some stories, and spend the week. Where Spirit of God gave me burden to bring all such kind of pastors together into the central church where I live and train them systematically. Since 3 years we have been doing the same thing. First batch we have taken nearly 70 people in the beginning, and 60 pastors were graduated. 10 months course we have been giving. Every month, Pastor Jean is coming. Not every month, 1 month Pastor Jean is coming. The following month Pastor Roger is coming. Other month, I am requesting all the pastors from America and Australia, if Jamie comes on my way, please do come and teach our pastors. I am asking Jeff to come and teach our pastor. I'm asking John Holman, come and teach our pastors. I'm asking the brother Ozzy and Beth, please come and teach our pastors. Because I want our pastors to be established in the sound doctrine so that this word may establish them in faith and in the Bible so that we may present them in the day of the Lord perfect and in the full of Jesus Christ. That's what we have been doing. When they come, they teach in the seminaries and the pastors' classes. At the same time, I take them to the village churches also, where we give them a strong foundation, a very clear the word of God to the village churches also. The Paul is trying to tell us, we are proclaiming, first thing, we are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. The second thing is telling that we are warning every man in the Lord, and we are teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Jesus Christ. When man gets salvation, he needs the warning from the word of God. He needs the systematic teaching from the word of God. When he stands and gets all kinds of warning and the systematic teaching, it is not going to happen 1 year or 2 years or the 20 years of span. It may take lifelong time to establish one man in the perfect will of God. That's what the Paul was desiring, so that we can present them fully matured and in the fullness of Jesus Christ in the day of the Lord when he comes. Therefore, it is our desire, my strong desire personally, we are preaching. In the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ, I cannot use you white people. India is not open. You cannot do the open air meetings and gospel crusades and the gospel meetings outside on the open airs, because India is not open to you. We are doing that. I am preaching, and with me there are many other pastors whom I take to conduct the gospel meetings in the villages, and we are proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Where I am requesting you is come and teach the systematic teaching of the Bible to my pastors, to my congregations. We are doing our best. Upon that, please come and help our people to stand on the firm foundation of the word of God. That's what I am requesting each and every one of you. Please pray that, because there are many, many teachings are coming in these last days. Recently, Mormons. 10 years back, India doesn't know what is Mormons. But since 5-6 years, the Mormonism has crept into the Church of India. They're building big churches. They're enticing the people. Our people are poor people. They don't have money. They don't have jobs. They don't have many things. These people are coming and enticing. If you follow us, we will provide you jobs, we will send you USA, we will send you to Australia, we will buy this thing, we will provide this thing, we will give you the loans, many things they are enticing with, and getting the people into the Mormonism, which is very bad. That's where my heart grieves, to establish our people in the sound doctrine of the word of God, so that they will not be enticed with the things of this world like money or the anything else in this world. Many kinds of teachings are coming into the Indian church, because the Indian church is a vast church with many people in India. And it is a open door for us. Whenever you come, I may not conduct open air meetings for you, but I can take you to the churches, village churches, or central churches, churches in the cities. You are free to speak in the churches, within the churches. Therefore, I pray and request, do as much you can to strengthen the body of Christ which is living in India. Because church in India is being spoiled with many, many kinds of teachings. I don't want to mention any other's name, that's not my job, but you know what I'm trying to tell you and establish on your mind. Therefore, it's my humble prayer and request, please do help in this regard to teach our pastors. And my faith is, my attempt is that if I can teach one pastor, he can go back to his church and train 100 believers in his church. We have a strong feeling that, like a lottery, like a business, gain and loss, that's what the salvation is for. We think we gain the salvation when we do and obey the Lord, we lose the salvation when we disobey the Lord. That's what the comprehension we have. But when Jean came, even I had the same comprehension of the gospel. But when Jean came and teaching again and again, nailing and banging on the same head, finally we got to know that salvation we cannot lose. We have the eternal security in the salvation. That's what I mean. Our people should know what the Word of God is teaching about many other things to establish ourselves in the faith. That's where I want warning and a sound teaching to our pastors and to our churches in the villages where we are leading. Therefore, Paul's desire is, simply it's not getting saved, but be established in the salvation what God has given. Be grounded and rooted in the love of God, in the Word of God, so that anything may come in our lives. I tell you, very sad thing happened when I lost my son. If it could happen in some other's family, I tell you, they will abuse God, they will rebel against God, and go away out of the way of the Lord, and they are done with the Christian church and the Word of God. Because God helped us, me and my wife, to establish in the Word of God. It was a big blow upon my life when I lost my young son in such a great accident. It was a big blow in my life. I had many, many situations like that. It was the greatest blow in my life. But I tell you, in all this situation, only one Sunday I missed in my church not to preach. And the following Sunday, God enabled me, strengthened me to stand on the pulpit and speak to the people as usual I was doing while my son was with me. What I'm trying to tell, there are many people going away from the truth of the word. Truth of the Word of God, because they were not established in the Word of God. That's where we need your lots of assistance to come and warn our church and teach our church the sound doctrines of the Bible and help our believers and the pastors and the churches to be established in the Word of God. That's what the Apostle Paul, I do not know what is the time. Okay. So in the 28th verse, he says, we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. The second thing we are talking about, we are admonishing every man, mean warning every man, and teaching every man with all wisdom so that we may present every man complete in Christ. In verse 29, he says, for this reason, I also labor, striving, according to his power, which mightily works within me. 29th verse. I want to stress upon that. For this reason, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, for this reason, to warn the church to be established in the sound teaching of the Word of God, for this reason, we also strive through the Spirit which is working in us mightily. That's what personally me and my wife, God has given me a very beautiful wife who stands with me in every situation, in the ministry, in the hardships where we go. In every situation she was with me and we stand together to face the things. Paul was telling that for this reason we are, the word of God is telling, we are striving hard for this reason to take the gospel into the rural villages, to establish the churches in the sound doctrine or the teachings of the word of God. We want to strive ourselves. We want to risk our lives for this reason, leaving our safe hand. We can run into the problems. We can run into the life threats. We can run into the many dangers of the life. But we want to see, Paul says, churches being established and being complete and full when we meet the Lord in His coming. This is what we are desiring for the Church of India, because I personally very happy to see that God loves India. India is one of the greatest nation upon the face of the earth, which has big population. First comes the China, my sister Rosie comes from China, and then comes India. We have 1.4 billion people living in a small piece of land, India. So God is very much interested in the people, not in the land, not in the pleasures, not in anything in this world. God doesn't want to see any soul being perished. Therefore, I strongly believe that God wants our country, my country, to be saved. Because millions of people are living in India, and it is the desire of God. Along with God, we want to work for the, to meet the pleasure of God, to desire of God, to bring every man into the perfection of Jesus Christ, to preach every man the gospel of Jesus Christ, and find them in a sound and a good teaching. Therefore, it is our desire to take the gospel into the villages. It is our desire to build the churches where there are no churches. It is our ambition to send the missionaries, evangelists, and the gospel women to preach the gospel wherever God leads them to do. With that, along with that, we have been doing many other things like child ministry and medical ministry. Since my wife is a medical doctor, we do lots of medical ministry and just to assist the church planting work. We are not interested in doing social work, in fact, but all this social work like meeting the needs of the widows and the orphan. We have an orphanage, leading an orphanage and medical ministry, distributing many things to the orphans and the poor kids and the children who are going to the schools. We do all such kind of things, social. We meet the social needs. That's all to encourage the church work, the church establishment. Therefore, it is our desire. We have a passion in our hearts to take the gospel into the people. We have passion to construct the churches, to establish the pastors in the villages where the missionaries needed. Therefore, I want to request you to pray with us and help us whatever we can in the way of prayer, in the way of finance, and by coming and visiting. If you are not a great teacher, still you are welcome to come and visit us. It's not only teachers. When you come and speak the words of love from your heart, that's a great encouragement for the people in India. Because we are the minority what we call in India. Christians are very few handful people, as I told you. We are called neglected people, minority people. Government don't like us. Other religion don't like us. We are kind of despised people in India. When missionaries like you, when people like you come and spend time with us, pray with us, our churches are being very much encouraged morally and spiritually. And we know that there are someone, now you are praying for us, we know that. When you come and visit our churches in the villages, they confidently know that there is someone who is taking care of us. There is someone who is behind us. So there is somebody who is loving us. That's the moral support that the Indian church needs, pastors needs. Therefore, I would like to continue to help the ministry in India. I would like to continue to, may God open your hearts to, sometimes many people in US and Australia don't like to leave their countries. You are confined to our countries many a times. But I praise God, there are many sisters and brothers in this church going into many nations like Zambia and Papua New Guinea and India and many other nations. I'm very happy for that. But may God open the hearts of the people to come and see the need of the church at India. And there are many other third world countries. Pastor Jean goes Bhutan, Nepal, Pakistan, Sri Lanka along with India. These all are the third world countries where they need the love of God to be shown by somebody. People are waiting. If you are not a great teacher, if you are not a great man, still you can come and show your love when you come and visit the churches in India. Therefore, it's our passion, as Paul tells in the 29th verse, for this purpose I also labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. There is a force driving Paul to see all these people, all these villages like Ephesus and Smyrna and Philippians, Colossians, Galatians, wherever he founded the churches. The Paul says, there is a force within me to see these people fully matured, equipped and presented in the presence of the Lord fully and completely in the presence of the Lord. That's what I have the personal desire to see. We have a pastor called Johann, means John. He was there. Sometimes on this job, me and my wife, we have disputes, quarrel together. I love that Pastor John very much. And he was a very innocent man. He cannot speak boldly and very shy fellow. He cannot do anything by himself. All these years I have been using him and seeing him. If he can establish a small congregation somewhere, I will be happy to see him. But since 8 years he has been working. Nowhere he is able to find any small congregation. My wife abuses me for that. You love this man, but he is not working and he is not able to find any congregation, not staying in any village. Well, that's his weakness. But there is a passion within my heart to see that boy, that pastor, being established somewhere. I have been looking after him since 8 years, but not able to establish himself somewhere to find out a church. But I do not know God is working through him. It may not be the way that I am expecting from him, in a different way maybe. God is using this young man in a different way that I don't understand. But still I have a interest and love and passion for that man to see that God is using him in his hand, however God wills to use this man. We have a passion to send the missionaries, send the pastors, send the young men into the mission. We have passion to take the gospel into the villages. We have passion to construct the churches in the villages. We want to just step out from our safe ends and go to the villages, go to the people. When we go to preach the gospel, to present the gospel in the villages, we face lots of obstacles. People come against us, abusing us. People come against us, threatening us to leave their villages and cities. Once we went to Siddipeta town, Pastor John Mark, where we have an orphanage. When we were preaching, street preaching, just we were distributing the tracts, a mob of youngsters came and telling us, you need to leave the city, otherwise we are going to put the van, gospel van, on fire. Then we got into the van again, we drove to the different street, again we started to distribute the tracts, knowing that these people doesn't know in that other street. Again they followed us, and again they admonished us, you need to leave the city, otherwise we are going to put your gospel van on the fire. Finally we had to quit that city, and leave that city, and we came back to the Hyderabad. Ever since that day, we could never do gospel work openly in that Siddhipeta village. But in spite of that, let me tell you, the Spirit of God working very powerfully in that land where the, in that city where the lots of opposition is coming, through Pastor John Mark. He was a very calm and quiet man. God established a wonderful man in that very rebellious city. Through him, God has brought 400 souls into the church, for which we praise God from the bottom of our hearts. Initially, we thought we cannot put a church in this city because people are chasing away from the city not to establish any church, not to give the gospel in any way. But when we sent Pastor John Mark into that city, a town called Siddhipet, God used that man and he established a wonderful, beautiful, powerful church which is having 400 souls in each church. Therefore, when we take the gospel into the different areas of our country, we may face problems, persecutions. They may come and beat us and pelt the stones. Many things may be done. But still, what I want to tell you, we have the passion to take the gospel into the villages. We are committed for the work which God has called us to do for his glory and the expansion of his kingdom. Therefore, I would like to ask you to pray for our ministry and for the security of the pastors, what we are doing, and not to turn away from the call and the vision God has called us. Because in between these, many things may come. Money may come, the power may come, big respects may come. But personally, we always submit ourselves to the Lord, not to look unto the money, not to look unto the fame and the honor that we get in the ministry, but look unto him who really gives us strength to press forward to take his gospel into the people of India. Therefore, it is my request to pray for the ministry which we are doing in India. And I have a small, video clipping which we are trying to project tomorrow, I think. And when we project that video clipping tomorrow, you can see all the details of the ministry, what we are doing in India. Therefore, I would like to call your attention to kindly pray for us and pray for our pastors, pray for our churches, pray for our villages where we are looking, where we are having the churches, and pray for our family, especially me and my wife Avarna and my youngest son Joshua. And just we want to, as a family, as a ministry, we want to press forward in the ministry which God has given us. And just we want to see our country, India, being saved and have a good seat in the presence of the Lord when he comes. Thank you for the time that you have given us this afternoon to share with you. And looking forward to speak tomorrow with you again. Thank you very much.